By the C, by the C, by the C-O-O-D, by the A, by the B, followed by double E, then with an N, you've got the name of the men of letters, the go-getters, hotter than a metters, fired up and spitting sparks to cast a light on footy, day and night. Bask in the glow of the team in the know, could have been champions.
Yes, thank you, Uncle. Good morning and welcome to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. I'm Ian Cover. I'm in the chair because the rotation policy continues. We're just resting some of our veterans as we move towards the finals. So Jeff Richardson resting in parts unknown. And mind you, I thought I might be missing this morning as well, late in proceedings last night, but more on that in a moment. Good morning to Crowboy, Adelaide's Greg Champion.
Yes, reflections of Cardinia Park to share with you in due course.
Looking forward to that. Probably do that between
12 and 1.
Yeah, 11 and 11.05. George McGee, he played league football.
Yes, good morning, Cove, and good morning to everyone out there. And what a joy it was to see Tommy slot that one last night.
And my fellow Cats fan, Billy Baxter, a very good morning to you.
It is a very good morning, and I didn't play league football, but gee, I got close. Very close.
Hey, tell me this, Torchy. Can I go to Torch first? Torchy, you played full forward in the 60s, in an era when the full forward was king. Did you ever have a shot for goal after the siren, 55 metres out?
No, I never did. No, I would have liked to have had one, but no, I never did. But it was a pretty good kick, really. Because
a pretty good kick.
Well, you have to
be terrific to make you stand up and take notice then, Torchy.
Yeah, when you... Because he actually hasn't got a reputation as being a straight shooter, certainly over the last
few years. No, he only kicked 6-2 on the night.
Yes, he did. So obviously
he's put a bit of work in.
He's turned it around.
Yes. Well, if you had had a kick, a goal, the odds would have been 1-2 and 9.
Yeah. Very good. It was terrific to watch. I mean, and the first quarter, they've blown him out of the water, and it was pretty, you've got to give Hawthorn some accolation for getting back into the game.
They're a good team.
Torchy,
They're a pretty good team.
They're not a bad team. Not a bad team.
In McGee parlance.
If you did have a shot for goal at any stage of the game, but particularly at the end there, and as you came in to kick the siren sounded, would you stop and reset, or would you just... By that stage, would you have been oblivious and you would have blocked everything else out?
I would have gone the torp rather.
Oh, would you?
Well, that just shows what a retro guy you are. Well, it depends where you are in your run-up, doesn't it?
Place kick, Torchy. That's how retro you are.
I actually did kick a drop kick goal after a siren, but it was at half-time siren.
That still counts.
From the goal square.
No, it was Glenn Ferry. So it was a 40-metre one. It's about from the middle of the ground.
So Hawthorn are still smarting since Torch kicked one at
that was in the under 19.
Well, set the agenda. Forget about Kennett's curse.
The McGee. Malevolence. Look, everyone's talking about last night because they're saying it's a great game, great finish, excitement, boyhood dream stuff.
Yep.
Clearly, you want to rewind to last Saturday.
Before I do, though, apparently a sports journalist on Radio National yesterday was pointing out that in the Olympics, the go-to question is how do you feel and when do you think you had it won? Now, we were making this point 20 years ago after the Olympics. So I think it's only right that people would ask a Cats fan, are you keeping the lid on it?
Yep.
How do you feel and when did you think you had it won? Probably at quarter time.
Of course, last night there were 65,000 at the G. The joint was pulsating and the atmosphere was electric. How was it behind the goals on the Gary Ablett Terrace at Cardinia Park last week?
Yeah, I'd like to go there.
A friend of mine said he saw you. I saw your mate Champion, he said. He was wandering around the terrace.
Did he yell out, Champion,
you're nothing.
That's what he told me. Because in case, for the listeners who don't remember 20 years ago, I had that experience at the Outer at Victoria Park.
Yeah.
That's when a fan called to me. Look, I've got two reflections of my time at Cardinia Park last night, even though I want to hear why the cameras weren't on you when the sign went last night. But...
They would need a very long lens.
You weren't at the ground? Oh, dear. Two reflections of... first of all, Torchy. They have this thing, apparently, called an outer. Down at Cardinia Park, where I've been often, I was sat in the corner of the hickey stand, where you are apparently protected and sanitised from the real people. What I've discovered is I was under the illusion that Geelong fans are a little more benign and a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more cruisier than your average feral footy bogans.
Yeah, double comparative there.
And you know what? I was mistaken in that regard.
Well, what happened?
You ran into the feral Geelong supporter.
Just as feral and bogan.
They haven't got any.
Group of
Don't start that.
Do you know the umpires missed 35 frees in the first quarter to Geelong alone?
Mm. Yes.
Now, the Cat fans out there, they're all right, Cove. Mm. If you think that I'm being a little harsh, they're passionate.
That's right.
Out there.
Well, I think you're harsh, and we know people do things differently in Adelaide, but someone sent me a photo they took of champs out there in the outer of Cadinia Park. You know how most dads put their kids up on their shoulders?
Yeah.
Champs is on his 9-year-old daughter's shoulders. You are the worst father going around.
Now, I'm told that the visiting side gets 200 tickets.
That's right.
Well,
far too many in my view.
With my 5 tickets, I took 4 Cats fans.
Good on you.
End of the Large Geelong hearted. Enclosure, which didn't seem to exist.
Yeah. Did you start to get excited, though? Because you're up the end that Patrick Dangerfield kicked about 275-metre goals. And
Moggs Creek boy turned it on for the locals. But another Adelaide boy turned the game back the Geelong way. Mm. Yeah, Andrew Mackey.
Oh,
yeah. One of ours stitched us up.
He knew where you were sitting. He was trying to put it on your head.
And he did the same last night. He kicked an important goal at a crucial time.
Yes. Two reflections. One, the fans are passionate.
Yes.
Two, the ground staff are very relaxed. Coming back at half time into reserved areas, I got a guy saying, "Show your tickets, please." And everyone's just wandering past him. And at other times, they're chatting to the film. I like that.
We're
and
provincial.
That's country.
Any comment on the canteen supplies down there at Cadinia Park?
Did you find any grated carrot sandwiches?
A glass of red?
No.
It's good value of $8.
$8?
Good value.
How can they do it for that?
Do they fill it up to that little line about a quarter of the way up the glass, or do they fill it right up to that top?
Good value. Up the top. It rained
good
on us.
Good point, Torch. Little line. Get rid of it.
That's right. Absolutely.
I haven't been rained on at the footy for a long time and got wet.
Oh, start of the last quarter, it really came down, didn't it?
And we were not covered.
It's amazing. Again, it's one of those Saturdays when we're here and one team has played twice since we were last here.
That's right.
And won them both. And
I think they're back in town, Torch.
I think it had everything last night.
So do they get an 8-day break now, do they?
Geelong play the Eagles next week. I'm not sure when it is.
Could be. I'll have a look in the fixture.
It's been now held as one of the great home and away games of the year. Had everything, drama and all. Came down to the last,
last kick.
Last wire.
And amid all the Olympic coverage, the grandstand has still been doing the footy. And Adam White was, I think, in charge of the call at the finish. Can we have just, because Richo's not here, I'm in charge. So Billy and I have voted in favour of just listening to the end bit again. So can we have a listen to the end last night?
Mackey takes it for the Cats. He kicks it out to Duncan on the second bounce. He goes short down the line, and it's Steve Johnson. He's at half back, kicks to the middle. Crucial ball here. Selwood stands tall, takes the mark, kicks the ball. Hawkins has marked it at the 50. Now, there is time left. 32 and a half minutes remaining. The runner has gone out to Hawkins. So now Hawkins knows how long he's left. He puts the ball on the ground.
So this is
he wipes
kick.
His palms.
He's doing the right thing. Yeah, he's typing the time.
Hawkins starts his approach. He'll have to kick it 52 metres. He's straight in front to the punt road end. The siren sounds. The ball goes on and on and on. And it's gone home for a goal. The curse remains. The Cats reign supreme at the MCG again. And they are alive this year, Geelong. The spirit is still there. And Hawkins kicks six of the very...
The curse remains.
Can we hear that again?
Don't fade it down. Bring it back up again.
You know, the first question that popped into my head, how did he know that he was telling him the time? He might have gone out and said, if you get a chance, pass it off to Chappie.
Jimmy's on his own in the pocket.
I remember the old days. Wadey would have put the ball down and pulled his socks up.
Yes, he would.
Jack put the ball down and put his sock down. Tom put his sock down.
Oh, did you notice that? No, he was folding the sock over his mouth guard.
Yes.
Didn't pick that up before.
And you know what? Wadey would have kicked a torp as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Or a drop kick. Yeah. Drop punt would have been third choice.
That's right.
But very exciting. Parko was doing a bit of booing and ahhing and barracking him in the end.
Nice call from Adam White.
Yeah, well done, White.
Adam White, great call.
The Cats play on the Friday night again next week, so they'll be...
Is it a blockbuster torch?
It is. It's a blockbuster over there.
Who are they busting?
In front of the three-tiered stand next Friday night.
Are you sure it's Friday night?
Yes, it's got it in the fixture.
And then Geelong plays St Kilda the next Friday, don't they?
Yes, they do, and that's played down at the Darklands.
We play you the last game of the season.
It is, and that's
down. In your park.
It is.
And you're the last team to have beaten Geelong.
That's right. That'll be an absolute cracker.
Have you got any idea about bringing down 199 of your mates for the 200 tickets?
I know that the ferry from the Mornington Peninsula is coming across from Rye.
Oh, so passion will meet passion.
That's right.
I see a bit of BF coming up for Geelong. Blockbuster fatigue. Oh. Three Friday nights in a row after that Cardinia Park business last week.
Just priming them for the finals.
Very exciting.
I want to see Scotty complaining about it in the media. I said Scotty because I'm never sure what his Christian name is.
That's Chrissy.
And the interesting thing about the last round, of course, that the fixture hasn't been decided because they want to see where different teams finish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the Swans did happen to finish in the top two, there's every chance that would be a Friday night game as well.
Right? I think there's every chance it'll be on the Saturday.
Saturday because it's during the day.
And it's at Geelong. We haven't got the lights yet.
No, not just yet.
Why don't you come down on the Saturday morning, because there's a breakfast I'm going to go along to, being put on by the Geelong Cricket Club at the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Peter Bedford's coming down to speak, because he played in the famous match in 1970.
Yes.
When the South won to play in the finals.
That's right, the Apple match.
Yeah, the Apple match.
Granny Smith Apple.
So I said to Wadey, why don't you come along and relive the Apple incident? Wadey, you know where he won't be there? You know where Wadey will be?
On a cruise.
He's cruising through Alaska or somewhere. Yeah.
Mediterranean. Yeah. He loves a cruise.
He does love a cruise.
He does a cruise well.
I think that's right.
So you would have had to be a genius to get the quarter-quad last night, wouldn't you?
I think anybody who could have had... What were they in front of quarter time?
45.
Anybody who had that would have gone very wide. I think they would have spread their money, and it would have been a lot of money.
Yeah. So, of course, events of last night are uppermost in our mind. It sort of raises everything else. Anything else happened last weekend or happening in football that we should be talking about? I've completely forgotten last weekend.
The only thing
I
remember is that
Carlton
beat Richmond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I happened to catch a bit of that too.
Somebody told me, I think it might have been in the newspaper, that if Richmond managed again to lose by less than 10 points against Brisbane tonight, they will break a new record of the number of less than two-goal defeats in a row.
That's got to be heartbreaking.
It is for the Tigers.
Is that a record that people have talked about often over the years?
only since Richmond started losing by less than two goals.
Where's that game being played?
That's at the Gabba.
Oh, well, it's on the
couch. And, Covey, if you're looking to things to... Mark, this round of football, we mustn't forget that we started in 1981, as did Kevin Sheedy. And he coaches his 1,000th game this weekend. Yeah. That's remarkable.
Well, no. It's 1,000 games as a coach or player.
That's combined.
So involvement, perhaps, I should have said.
Yes.
So you were misled by the producer.
Yeah.
So, He started coaching in 81, but he played a lot before that.
He coached at the Bombers, and before that, I think he was a panel member on World of Sport.
Come in there and clip you behind the ears. That's what I'm going to do about it, Andrew.
So if Sheeds is listening, give us a call.
Yes.
He calls in, doesn't he? 1-300-222-774, Sheeds.
Congratulations to Sheeds.
And it's the other team, isn't it? Which one's Sheed coach?
He coaches the GWS.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast.
Yeah.
They're playing at the G. They're playing Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yep.
So little Gary's already down in town. Mm. So he went yesterday to visit some, family and friends in the Geelong area. And he's on that modern technology stuff. And he sent a message out apparently during the day saying, hi, I'm in Geelong, where is everybody? I'm down at St Mary's Footy Ground, the one outside.
Yeah.
Come down and say good day. So people drove down to say good day to Gary.
So that's how you draw a crowd these days.
He just sent him a message. Gary, I'm in town. Where is he? Come and say hello. Got other blokes that, you can't get through the Politburo to get to them. Gary says, here I am, come and have a chat.
Next time I'm back in Adelaide, I'm going to go down to Elder Park. I'm down at Popeye.
Where is everybody?
Come and see me.
No, don't you do it. Get little Gary to do it on your behalf.
But again, that just tells you how relaxed they are in Geelong. They don't need that.
You can take the boy out of Geelong.
Yes.
But you can only get him as far as the Ford factory.
As far as St Mary's footy ground. Champion, you're going to sing some songs shortly, and we'll have all the normal features we have on the Coulda Beans interspersed with replays of the last minute of last night's game. And Johnny Northey will be our replaced coach today.
Yes.
And in the second hour of the program, Paul Broderick will be talking to us as well. He played for the Tigers.
Yeah.
He did. And he played for the Roys as well.
Did he?
He
did
so.
Too.
Yes.
That is correct. Colac boy, I think.
Yes.
So, Champy, get your guitar ready, and it's coming right up after this.
What a witty ditty. A refrain without pain. Well, it won't take long. For a sonnet or song, call on the Could Have Been's King of the Chorus, Champs. Release the sounds.
The only thing we didn't talk about was the Olympics. Have we lost interest after a week, have we?
No, I'm not losing interest. I'm loving the Olympics. I was switching between a magnificent footy game last night and the track, if you've got the...
Thank goodness the track started.
The seven channels.
That is the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. No, if you've got the seven channels, there's always something nice to watch. I've had a look at the... I've got involved in the sailing a little.
I wouldn't mind seeing the sailing.
A little look at the water polo. I've enjoyed the swimming. Let me see now. Badminton doesn't quite push your buttons, but there's something to see. I've had a great week. And last night, between a mighty footy game, I was looking at the 400 hurdle heats.
Yeah. Oh, are they on?
Yeah.
Did Australia have a representative in the...
Yes, he's through to the semis.
Excellent.
That fair-haired fellow.
And his name is?
That guy.
Oh, that guy.
Ken Cole or something. Cole.
Old King Cole.
Yeah, his name is Cole, C-O-L-E. Yeah, and he's got a Christian name too.
Yeah.
And I managed, between after goal scored, to whip over and see the women's basketball, which was on last night, and that was an exciting game as well.
Australia beat Russia.
And so it came down to the wire, that wire.
A bit of hockey. Yeah. A little bit of hockey's always good.
History too. Liz Cambridge was the first female athlete to slam dunk.
Ah.
You sure?
Did you know that? Yes.
Do you want to check that?
Andy told you.
In that match. Let's get on with the song.
Yeah, you got any Olympic songs? Not yet.
A few have come in. Send your songs to couldhavebeens.com.au.
And lots of songs coming in now to the tune of Road to Gundagai.
Yes. That's what we're on about right now. But before, we did have an Olympic song this week. Mm-hmm. It went something like... Emily Seabom, do-do-do-do-do-do. That's the bit I remember.
No, that's good.
No. From Doug Long.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, Road to Gundagai. Listeners, 2 weeks ago, we had a version of Click Go the Shears as a country football club song.
More you.
And this led to, last week, on our invitation, a spate of country football club songs to the tune of Click Go the Shears. This last week, we asked you to send your ditties, if they happen to be to the Road to Gundagai or any other tune, and we have had dozens. So here are some of them, and we're going to sing along, gentlemen, and... In future weeks, any strange tune, any offbeat tune, any unusual song that your footy club tune is sung to, whether it be you be suburban or country, we want to hear them because we are getting to good ones. Two examples, Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, a good tune for it, and Tungama has Thank God I'm a Tunga Boy.
Is that right? Has anyone done one to 100 in the backyard?
Not that I know.
That will make a beaut.
I'm delighted to see in several of those Road to Gunda guys that the expression red hot Savaloy gets a run.
We'll be seeing that this morning.
Oh, good.
I'd like to see one to the tune of Cool for Cats.
Well, you're asking a bit of the change room chorus there. Are We Any Jolly Good is popular with East Malvern... YCW.
That's got a bit of our Don Bradman about it.
Yes, hasn't it?
I think that was a bit Don of a standard in the YCW competition, that one.
Right. Oh, was it? Mm. Donnie wrote the original. Road to Gundagai.
Tom Bradman did.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking, of course, of Jack O'Hagan. I think you're talking about Jack O'Hagan, because Jack wrote our Don Bradman.
He did.
What was Jack's average? 99.4?
9.4.
9.4.
Jack O'Hagan was the Doyen, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was the Don of his caper. So, Mattingley Football Club at Bacchus Marsh in the 60s also sang Any Plum, Any Pud, Are the Dingers Any Good?
Right.
Pat from Yanar has sent the East Malvern one in from the 60s. Also, Are We Plum, Are We Pud, was the Onkaparinka Valley Bulldogs in the Hills Football League in the Adelaide Hills of South Australia. They have that version too now.
They wouldn't have worried with tracksuits on the bench, Billy, in the Onkaparinka. They would have had some nice blankets.
They would, indeed.
Matthew Price of Box Hill North says, "We're the best we've stood the test. We are better than the rest. We are the mighty Box Hill North." And Paul Pierce, I've just finished listening to your podcast and been prompted to write. He he was in two sides that had both Klitgo the Shears and Road to Gundagai in two different clubs.
How about that?
So, and one was Locke on the Eyre Peninsula, and one was Longrenong when he was at college at Horsham.
Yeah.
And Longrenong goes, "We're the team on the beam, we're the finest ever seen. We are the boys from Longrenong." Now to ones that will sing, because we've got so many. And here is the Red Hot Savoys and Ian Andrews.
No, I don't need it.
No, you keep it to us. Ian Andrews. That's Ian Andrews writes.
Thank you.
The song was brought to the town by a blow-in from the coast in the 60s. Hence, there was a reference, casual reference to coastal lyrics in the song. Because of its unusual words, Red Hot Savoys, and the fact that Wedderburn is nowhere near the ocean, see the ending, it survived a major coup to change to Weir from Tigerland in the 70s. It is sung and loved by all and frequently at present. Now, lads, I think it'll go like this. Come on, boys, make a noise. We're the Red Hot Savoys. We are the boys from Wedderburn. You can bring up all your locals and bring them to the top. The Wedderburn are coming, they're coming on the hop. Come on, boys, make a noise. We're the Red Hot Savoys. We are the boys from Wedderburn. I think I'll change the key.
Where do we sleep?
Oh, yes. They've got all this stuff they do afterwards. Mm. Yes. I was going to
bit of fun for them.
Is, is that along the lines of Did We Win?
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of.
Yes. Reid McLennan, when he was back in Scottsdale, Tassie, two of the seven sides in the North East Football Union, that's Branksholm, the Wanderers and Bridport, the Seagulls, had Road to Gundagai. Two of the seven.
Two.
There you go.
Out of seven.
And here is, go the one there, the Port one, the Bridport one. There you go, Bill.
Thanks, Greg.
And so Reeve writes, because he tells a good yarn, Reeve. As a kid playing junior footy against Branksholm, I used their version as inspiration for We Are North Fitzkilda Roy.
Yes.
Do you remember that, gentlemen?
Yes, we do.
Having moved to Brisbane as an adult, I umpired Logan City Cobras, who also used the song. And he tells it, he says, it's good going to Logan City to umpire a game. And here's the Bridport version from back in Tassie.
Well, the Port, we're the team, we will always be supreme because we strive for victory. Oh, winning's our ambition, the Premiership's our mission, we do or die to win.
Boom, boom!
We're the Port, we're supreme, we're the mighty Seagull team because we strive for victory.
I really mean it.
Let me see.
If they weren't striving for victory, there might be an inquiry also.
I thought there were more, but we'll do more in the second hour because there are so many good ones. Meanwhile, let's have a sing of this. And here, Bill.
Thank you.
Further away today because Richo's absent.
Yes, I'm driving today.
Right. Now, this is the Hawthorn Club song, gents. Two, as in doo-dee-doo-dee. One, two, three, and...
Cats were happy to beat Hawthorn. None more happy than the Hawk. Those Hawks seemed keen to slug it out real hard. Though I'm in a box, Clark O'Kent, his temper. Mr. Kennett won't be smiling. Nor will Paul Boo-Wop alone. You couldn't script an end like that. Last call on the siren. So sorry for the sad old horse.
So sorry.
So did you knock that up after the game?
Doug Long, by the way, sent just the first line, I think, this morning.
Yeah.
Gee, you're good, Greg.
I know.
You did it on the red lights coming down from the hills, didn't you?
Yeah. You can see how well we rehearse these songs, too.
Paul from Rapanyup has also sent us an email this morning.
This morning. Yeah. It's so just, go on.
They're a Red Hot Savoy lot as well.
I saw the email just a little late for me to do the homework on it. But Rapanyup and Wedderburn, who aren't too far apart.
Up Rapanyup way.
Yeah, Rapanyup. Easy to get that wrong, isn't it? Now, Peter Trester is still aching about the Tigers. He takes it pretty tough.
And he's with the Carrum Cowboys, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah. And the Cowboys missed the five, but went out swinging.
Yeah.
Valiantly. They can snatch a defeat from the jaws of a win. There is a top eight that they'll never be in. There is always next year, that's what I must believe. This game can be brutal, but it's always the Tigers for me. They can lose when behind, they can lose when they lead. From a turnover or an undisciplined D. They can lose interstate, they can lose at the G. This game can be brutal, but it's always the Tigers for me. Hey, he's taking it tough, Pete, but he's venting in song. Mm. Hey, Bill.
Yes?
Let's go a bit hardcore country, because Frank Murphy had an idea for She Thinks I Still Care. You know the song, don't you? Like this. Just because he called supporters nuff-nuts and sprinkled his marshmallows everywhere, just because he thought up tying down the windsock, she eats things outside the square. Just because he's not the plumber that he used to be, she eats things outside the square. She eats things outside the square. There we go. And lots more Gundagai tunes in the second hour of the program. Mm.
Thank you, Champy. And right now, we're going to go to the burbs or the bush.
Either.
From paddock to park, some train in the dark, not big wheels, but real deals. And for the love, supporters, please, a bit of shush as we suss the scene from the burbs to the bush.
Yes, Unc. And we're going bush. We're going all the way down to the Colacan District Football League today. To the home of the Western Eagles. And their coach is Mark Carson. Good morning, Carso.
G'day, Carso. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you.
Do you know Mark, do you? How do you know his name's Carso?
Oh, because Mark takes the new ball occasionally for the Geelong Cricket Club in Premier Cricket.
Yeah, come. No, I suppose I've had that. Been lucky enough to have that role for the last 4 or 5 years now, so it's a little bit different to be on the footy field. But the cricket season's coming around pretty quick as we speak.
So when we get to about February, March in the cricket season, and your bowling might just go off a fraction, Carl. So is that because you're starting to think about your coaching of football?
Oh, I certainly hope not. I think last year in particular, I sort of held on okay. So.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, mate, that the form for the Cats and the cricket can hold on whilst still trying to do my best job I can for the footy club down here. Yeah.
And how are the Western Eagles travelling this year, Carso?
Oh, look, it's been a difficult year, mate. I suppose when I took the reins at the end of last footy season, they had a really tough couple of years. I think they'd won one game in 2 years and, probably popping 20 goal hidings most weeks, so... There was a fair role or a fair challenge ahead of us as a coaching group, and I think we've made massive step forwards this year. Like we've been competitive in probably 95% of our games. We've won two, probably should have won five. And with two games to go, we're certainly confident we can win the last two. And the improvement we've been able to show as a group and as a club this year has been fantastic.
It can get a plurry cold up there in Colac. Do you have any trouble getting the boys out onto the track on a cold, wet night?
No, not early on the year was pretty good. The last couple of weeks has probably been a little bit difficult, but I think that's a reflection of our win-loss ratio and obviously the July-August weather. You get down this part of the world, which, as you said, can be pretty fresh, so... We sort of tried to mix it up, and we've been training at the rec centre in Colac over the last couple of weeks on Tuesday night. So you've got, some indoor facilities there and the heated pool as well to sort of help the boys recover and get ready for the following week.
Fresh. Mm. And the Western Eagles haven't always been the Western Eagles. How did they come about?
Well, there's two clubs down here. There's Illawarra and Pirinyalik. and at the end of the 95 season, both clubs were sort of struggling numbers-wise and so forth, so the grounds were probably only a couple of k's away, and they got together and decided that they would amalgamate and form the Western Eagles. And, you know, I think it was a sad day for country footy that, you know, a couple of clubs that had been around for many, many years had to sort of close the door, so to speak, to form one club. But, you know, for the benefit of the district and the region, it was the right thing to do. And, you know, the club itself, whilst, as I said, on the field we haven't been overly strong over the last couple of years, off field it's certainly still moving forward very well, and they've got a good fan base, good members, and it's a really good family club to be a part of.
That's good. And don't tell me, in forming the Western Eagles, do you wear West Coast Eagles jumpers?
Oh, similar. Well, obviously, we take their colours and so forth. There's a big flying eagle across the front. But there has been talk over the last sort of 12 months that we'll probably look to, you know, just adopt what West Coast are wearing now, because the jumpers are so more accessible for people to buy and easier to order and so forth.
And which ground did you settle on?
Early on, we played at both. You'd play the first half of the year at one, and then you'd move to the other. But in recent time, all the footy's been at Illawarra, so it's a little bit bigger ground. You know, so a bit, people wide a bit longer, and just, you know, enables us to play a better style of footy, I think.
The other issue, of course, apart from the colours, is the song, and we've been concentrating on country footy clubs' songs in recent weeks here.
I hope you're not going to ask me to go through the song code, because with only two wins this year, mate, I sort of don't really know it that well yet.
Did they have to write up a new song to put the Western Eagles into the song?
No, it's completely new. When the club was formed, they got a completely new song, and I couldn't even tell you the beat it goes through, mate.
Greg Champion's very disappointed he wasn't asked to write the song.
Yes. What's the tune? Can't recall the tune of your song?
Not really. It's sort of, it's when the West come charging through the pack. It's sort of it's really hard to even describe it, mate. It's a little bit different. I haven't heard, but certainly when we win, the emotion certainly comes out, and it sounds okay.
They must have got the same person to write it who wrote Frio Club.
Not as bad as that.
You've probably got 20 blokes all singing a different tune. So a marvellous cacophony. Now, it's a big deal down there today at Irrawillipi, Carso, because there's a reunion, Torch.
Oh, I love reunions. Mm.
Tell us about the reunion.
Yeah, it's in 1992, Irrawillipi won the senior premiership in the Colachin District League, and they've got their 20-year reunion today at Irrawillipi, and it's quite fitting because we play Colac Imperials today, and that was the club we beat in 92 to win the grand final. So my understanding, what I've heard around the traps this week, is that you know, certainly the majority of the players and officials that were involved in 92 are going to be back out at the club. So, you know, it really will be good to see some old faces around. I was on the running water to the likes of Alan Woodman in that year that we won it. So
played for the Cats.
It will be good to see some of those old faces back out at the club, and you know, hopefully we can put on a good show and grab a win for the boys and make it a good celebration for the day.
And we got a missive from a fella called Chris Carr. Cove, is that Chris Carr who used to play for South Bowen?
Not sure.
It wouldn't surprise me. He was certainly a Geelong boy when we got him.
He a little bloke, is he?
I wouldn't say little. No, he probably would have been, you know, around that 6 foot mark.
Different Chris Carr.
He's not a policeman, is he?
I wouldn't be able to tell you that, mate. Mm-hmm. So I actually had a funny feeling he might have been, but I really couldn't guarantee that.
Yeah, there were two Chris Carrs. One was a policeman and one was being pursued by the police.
Now, Mark, we're talking about the past, but what about the future? What's your junior structure look like?
At under 14 level, it's really good. We've got some really, really good numbers. At under 17 level, it certainly could be better. I think we've got, you know, 16, 17, 18 kids. So, provided everyone's fit each week, you know, we certainly get a side out, no dramas. But, you know, if you get any injuries, it certainly makes it a little bit difficult. But I suppose that the dramas we have with at under 17 level is that our ground's about 20 kilometres out of Colac. So, yeah. Sort of, when you've got a couple of clubs in Colac trying to recruit all the good kids to themselves, it's sort of hard to make sure we get them out there. So that's certainly a focus we've got in the off-season, trying to strengthen our junior department, because obviously without the numbers and the good setup in the junior levels, then, you know, the club's going to struggle a bit. You want to make sure that Well, if you're going out to recruit and strengthen year in, year out, you've certainly got plenty of depth within the ranks at the club already, and you can try to promote as many kids as we possibly can.
Yeah, you're just right. Give them a regal king cone, you'll be right.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, Mark, it's been great having you on this morning. Mark Carson, the coach of Western Eagles in the Colac District Footy League. Just before you go, Mark, the lyrics have found their way into Greg Champion's hands. See if you recognise this song.
Our gun producer has found them on the net, and I can see from the lyrics what the tune's got to be. Mm-hmm. When Eagles come charging through the pack, hurrah, hurrah, we'll give them a mighty welcome back. Hurrah, hurrah, the crowd will roar, the boys will win, because victory's great and losing's a sin, and they all step back when Eagles come charging through. Hey!
Is that it?
Perfect, mate, perfect.
Well, let's hope you get to sing it today.
Fingers crossed, mate. Thanks for the call.
Good. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers, Mark Carson. And
you know what they need to do down there? Put on a shuttle bus.
Yeah. We should plug the quiz too. Covey's quiz coming up. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774.
Thank you, Billy. And we go from one coach to another coach who was replaced after.
Full support of the board? Good Lord! Another pink slip blip on the radar. Next coach out of town. Not fired, just services. No longer required. Ahem. DCM.
Yes, and the DCM in this case went the way of John Northey, of course, who we recall as a wonderful player, premiership player with Richmond.
And a fabulous coach.
Yes, with Sydney, Melbourne and Richmond before going up to the Brisbane Lions, and still involved in coaching up Ballarat way these days too. So we say good morning and welcome to the Could Have Beens to John Northey.
Yes, good morning, boys.
Yeah, good to have you on, John.
Are you at a footy ground at the moment, John?
No, I'm not actually. We have a weekend off this weekend. We have a bye, so I'm just enjoying the peaceful time.
Yeah, because actually I saw a copy of the Ballarat Courier a couple of weeks ago, and there was a photo and a story about you and what you're doing now. Can you just remind me what you are doing?
Well, I'm at the Ballarat Football Club. I'm head coach, let's say. I just try and advise the people we've got who are coaching and just help out generally, help out in the coach's box, do those sort of things. Yeah.
Have you come full circle, John, after your distinguished career at Richmond? Did you start your coaching in Ballarat?
No, I didn't. I started my coaching actually in Sydney, Western Suburbs, in 1971 was my first year. Coached Western Suburbs for 3 years, and then I came back to Ballarat and coached Redan there.
Gee, you pioneered the game in Sydney then, John.
Well, it was a bit like that because there were national service going on and there was Holsworthy Camp and the naval base there. They had a team and Western Suburbs. It was quite a strong competition and it certainly has developed from there. And I suppose with what they've done with the Sydney Swans, maybe it originated from what these clubs were doing originally in Sydney or New South Wales.
And, of course, as we say, you were at Sydney, you were at Melbourne, the Tigers, and then up to Brisbane, and you were there during the period when it went from Brisbane Bears to Brisbane Lions.
Well, that's right, yes. It was a difficult time then, obviously, going from one club to the other, and I suppose players coming in demanding more money than probably what the Brisbane Bears at that stage could afford. And it just did create quite a few problems, I think, in the undercurrent of things. However, you know, after it was all settled, they certainly developed and done very well.
Mm-hmm. And given you moved around all the time, with coached at four clubs and that, was the Brisbane experience the best, or where do you rate it?
No, the best I think I had was certainly Melbourne because I was there for 7 years. We played in the finals for five. Richmond was a wonderful, wonderful time too, and unfortunately that was not ongoing. And then I took up at Brisbane, of course, and we had 2 years in the finals. While all this was developing, I must say I didn't even know the merge was going on at that stage with Fitzroy, and that took place, and then things weren't as good. However, we scraped into the finals again the second year, and then they changed to the Brisbane Lions, and that year, we certainly weren't going very well at all. And, you know, as you know, probably the first bloke to be looked at is the coach, because he can't coach or he's not doing his job. And I think pressure on perhaps the board directors and chairman that I think they listen to too many people and make decisions on what people outside the club are making to them.
John, first to be looked at, last to know?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
How did you get the news?
Oh, I was down in the office one day because there was a lot of speculation, you know, and when you're sitting down in the office for a week or two and nobody's coming around you and talking to you, you know, but you have full support of the board,
yes,
of course. That happened, and then I got a phone call to go up into the office, and I thought, well, this may be it, and then three people were there. And just told me my services were no longer required.
And looking through that time at Brisbane, though, and you see some of the players who are on the list there, they really were the people who later on went on to win those three premierships in a row. So you had some kids who really developed into great footballers, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we did. Look, you could see the potential there, but which was going to be, you could always tell it's going to be fantastic. It'll be a wonderful period of time. However, I did say there were undercurrents of, you know, the merge that was taking place, and people who came in from another club, from Fitzroy onto the board and all that, who hadn't had success and perhaps thought we should be having more, and started to make those decisions then. And, of course, once again, we weren't playing that well. We weren't combining well, but we certainly had potential there. There was no doubt about that. And, you know, not when you think you've got potential, I suppose, and not doing really well, you know, they look at the coach and get rid of him first.
So John, you made Lethal Lee the coach that he is, didn't you?
Yeah.
John, yeah, what happened in that last year at Richmond? Because you had a good season. You won 15 and drew one. Do you want to recap that just for our listeners who aren't aware of the story?
Oh, well, I'm sure most would be aware. However, when you're involved in football, there are many, many stories that go around to suit the parties, let's say. And all I ever asked for at Richmond was a year extension on the contract, which I still had a year to go, but I thought I was in a good position. We had 16 wins, 6 losses played off in the finals that year, first time for 13, 14 years or something like that, and the people who were running the club then just wouldn't look at the situation at all and wouldn't extend the contract. And, you know, by then Brisbane, and I do think behind the scenes in, from what I understand, behind the scenes at Richmond or somewhere, there was word filtering out to Brisbane that I was very, very interested. So that's how that came about, and, you know, the rest is history.
Is it hurtful all these years, or do you just put in a compartment, close the door and move on?
Well, you often think about it. I mean, those sort of things you can't, you know, forget about. I mean, at Richmond I loved to play because I played there in two premierships, had a wonderful time there, and it just highlights to me, I think, that, you know, people who are running the football clubs, I mean, they're probably not associated the way that they should be, because I was associated by playing there, by being part of, you know, history, let's say, and then they make a decision on you, which I felt was very, very harsh. And from then on, of course, when you look back at the history of Richmond, every coach who has a reasonable year, they extend their contract by 2 years. And then none of them have done any good.
We're talking to John Northey, celebrated football player and coach. And the quiz is coming up. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774. Ring now. Talking of coaching, of course, with you, John, Kevin Sheedy, an old teammate, he's involved in his 1,000th game this weekend as a player or coach. He's been a great survivor, hasn't he?
Yes, well, he has, yeah, and at the top level too, which is really important. I mean, a lot of us, you know, I think couple of weeks ago. I did my coaching 1800. So,
wow.
But you know, I've been all over the place, of course. But Shooty has been there at the top, and you know, done a wonderful job. I mean, he's created so much in football. His thoughts have always been about football, and he's just done a wonderful job.
Mm. If you were coaching a league side today, which one would you like to be coaching, John?
Oh well, look, I think it'd either be Melbourne or Richmond.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I just think, you know, I just get so disappointed, I must say, with what I see at Melbourne and to see them down for so long. I think they just don't seem to be playing with a passion and ferocity that's required, particularly early in the game, to set things up. And, of course, Richmond look as though they've got, you know, potentially they just can't get over the line, and they just probably, you know, need some work on the mental side of things, I think. But those two sides, I mean, I watched the game last night, and one of the best games you would see, wasn't it? You know, where you get it so close, and one side nearly being blown away in the first quarter, and to come back, those two sides are just wonderful, wonderful sides.
Yeah. Indeed. And, of course, we can't forget that you dragged Melbourne out of the mire and into the prelim final in, what was it, 87 sweeper?
Well, we played off in the preliminary in 87, yes, and the famous one where Jimmy ran over the line on Mark, unfortunately. But, however, the one thing that was terrific at the Melbourne Football Club, we came back in 88 and played off in the grand final. Normally when you get done that way as we did, you know, it sort of sticks in everybody's mind for a while and it restricts everybody. However, it didn't. We just became more determined and made the grand final. We got belted, obviously, but, you know, to get up there and from that disappointment to get up there and give the supporters something and the club itself something to really feel about and cheer about was just wonderful.
Yeah, well, hopefully those days will return for them soon. Hey, John, great to talk to you this morning. John Northey, we're talking about Sheeds because he's at the top level, but John Northey has had a life in football and it still continues in a coaching role up there in Ballarat. So great to catch up with you on the Could Have Beens this morning. John, thanks for your time.
Been wonderful, boys. Thank you very much.
Good thanks, John.
John Swooper Northey joining us there. Covey's quiz time.
Yes, 1-300-222-774.
Who's at the ready, steady, go to the Joe who's a pro, apropos the quiz biz, he's the mayor of the questionnaire. Tackle Covey, if you dare.
And you can tackle me on 1-300-222-774. We have a couple of lines free at the moment, 1-300-222-774. An email's come in saying, yes, boys, I am a copper now at Port Ferry. It's from the real Chris Carr. And he says, another one of our premiership players in 1992 at Irrawillipi was Lee Manane.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
And a song about Lee Manane.
He had a poem, Fitzroy, you're going to miss Lee Manane.
A poem, not
one
a song.
One of my former teammates was a copper at Port Ferry, and I think he's still down there as well, Bobby Mallett, who played fullback for Port Melbourne.
Lee Bobby Mallett?
Yes.
Is he a copper?
Yes.
Oh. And Ronnie Weemouth, another Port Ferry identity.
Publican and player.
Yeah.
Hey, Covey's quiz. Daniel. Where's Daniel, Billy?
He's in Uanquin. He's there.
He's on the line. Where are you again, Daniel?
Uranquity.
That's, of course, it is.
Wagga.
Yeah, that's right. They were just talking to Sweeper Manane.
Sweeper Manorthy.
And Northy. We've got the wrong Manane.
Sweeper Manane.
We're talking about Lee Manane. What number did John Northy wear at Richmond when he played?
You know that he... reception here on the AM radio at Uranquity isn't that flash. I mean, no, I can't remember.
it's a single digit. Have a punt.
I'm not going to be on here for very long. Single digit, is it?
Yep.
Oh, it had to be number 8.
Oh, bad luck.
Gee.
Was very kind. No, don't like that.
Oh, you've ruined it for yourself, Daniel.
Let's go to Brian.
Brian, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing it, Co.
Sorry.
You've cut him off, Billy.
Well, let's go to... Greg at Heatherton.
Hello, Greg.
Good morning, boys.
Hello, Greggy.
Did you enjoy that game last night, Greg?
I did, as a matter of fact. Hey, can you do me a quick favour, boy? Send a cheerio to Robin. It's her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Rob.
No, we can't do that. No. Oh, you've done it now.
Not allowed to do cheerio.
She's not at the deli counter today, is she?
No, she's home today.
Very good.
Are you going out to the footy with her tonight?
No. She baked for St Kilda, so we can't have that.
Oh, wouldn't that be a good night? I hope they win for her birthday. Hey, what number did Sweeper wear at Richmond?
Sweeper wore number 9.
Number 9 is correct. How many games has Sheeds had as a player or coach?
Well, it's 1,000 tomorrow, so 999 right now.
Well, 1,000 either way. Hey, can you name one of the clubs coached by John Northey?
I can name the 4 if you want. Well, Richmond,
go on, show off. Go on.
Richmond, Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney.
Yes, he actually coached 5 because he coached Brisbane Bears and Brisbane Lions.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
And you missed Ballarat.
And Redden.
Redden. Yeah. Now, what about, where was I? Hey, like last week, Brock McLean kicked that goal to win the game for Carlton. Who was he trying to kick the ball to?
Levi Casbolt.
You were watching very closely, Greg, obviously. Right, let's go to the Olympics is on at the minute. James Tompkins. Which AFL club list was he on?
Melbourne.
That is correct. What number did he have?
A hint?
No, I'm just making conversation. I've got no idea. That'd be a good question, wouldn't it, if we ever found out? Hey, who kicked the ball to Tom Hawkins last night?
Was it Andrew Mackey?
No, it wasn't.
Have a good day, boys.
Good on you, Greg, and Robin, have a good night.
Yeah. No worries, mate.
Good.
Cheers, Kel.
Charlie is in Ocean Grove down here. Hello, Charlie.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Charlie. How old are you?
I'm 10.
Oh, who do you barrack for?
North Melbourne.
Good on you.
And they're going very well at the minute. Oh.
And goodness knows they need young supporters.
Why do you barrack for them?
Because my dad was watching the grand final in 1977, the draw.
Yeah.
And whoever won the replay, he was going to barrack for them, and North Melbourne won.
Fair enough. That's a good reason.
Good on North for winning that.
That's right.
Hey, do you know who kicked the ball to Tom Hawkins last night for him to kick the winning goal?
Was it James Kelly?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Close.
See you, Charlie.
Bad luck, Charlie. Nice to talk to you, though. What about Anna in Cressy? Hello, Anna.
How you going?
Yeah, good, Anna.
Cressy.
Yeah.
Love Cressy.
Chris Carr could go there and be the policeman because you haven't got one anymore, have you?
We do not have one.
No, but you've got emergency assembly points because I've seen them.
Who kicked the ball to Tom Hawkins?
Stevie J?
No.
Anna Canapenis.
No, but let's go to Brian in Tatura. Hello, Brian.
Brian.
Brian in Tat.
Yeah,
Brian.
Yeah, was it Joel Selwood?
It was Joel Selwood. Well done to you. And everyone was talking before the game about Buddy Franklin not being in the Hawthorn team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they go better without him.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got any, what should the Hawks do with Buddy?
Play him in the midfield.
Right? I've got two words here. Play him. I think that's a pretty good answer. Don't worry about that.
You're enough. The winner, Brian.
Yeah, good on you, Brian.
Hold the line.
In Tat.
Yeah,
that's nice to have you listening.
Give him to Adelaide. They could
thanks
do.
To all our callers who didn't get on this and week, but ring next week. You might have a crack at the prize.
Swipper Manane, who had a run at Melbourne and at South, but played for which VFA team?
See, there was a Swipper Manane.
And he
played at Oakley.
Yes, he did on a hard court
place. There was a Swipper Manane.
I know, because I went to school with him.
Yeah, I was sure I was right.
On the road, in the car, or settled back with a jar. I always has one at 11. ABC local radio, that's where you are. Can you smell the liniment? Feel the butterflies, it's match day. And you're on your way with the Could Have Been Champions, Jeffy, the team. If you please.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Could Have Been Champions here on ABC local radio. Going to link from the breadth of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ian Cover in the chair for Jeff Richardson, who's out as part of our rest and rotation. I don't think we've had a good morning again to Greg Champion.
Yeah, hello.
Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning.
And Billy Baxter.
Always good to be here.
Look, we've eventually got to get our best five
on the park.
On the park.
No, I think
for the run into the finals
at the same time.
Time.
Yeah. Richo, being the buddy that he is,
yeah.
Some say you might argue we go better without him.
No, well, I tell you what, we've got to get the side settled, and you know, as you get a bit older, you've got to rest yourself through it.
And it is the ABC, so you have to have balance.
We do.
So we can't have too much Geelong.
Mm. And of course, a number of the grandstand football team are in London at the moment. Mm. Yeah. Mm. They haven't had a whole lot to get excited about.
Well, there's track coming up. Has Jared got some track? Peter Donegan was doing track last night.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
I'll tell you.
And I must applaud the ABC.
I think you'll Dave Morrow will be doing the track.
Oh, yeah. Dave Morrow's the one, of course.
Luck. Yeah. I must applaud the ABC commentary too. Probably the only member of the major contingent reporting on the Olympics who haven't labelled bronze and silver medals as a fail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get rid of that. What's going on?
Once upon a time we were going for gold, now we're just striving for silver and picking a few up.
Yeah. And battling for bronze.
And you just need you need a few boundary riders, eh, don't you, for them to cross down to?
At the rowing.
At the rowing. Go down the rowing and say, I'm down here. And
what are conditions like down there?
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon they should.
Absolutely perfect for rowing.
Get somebody on one of those bikes that follow.
Oh, hell,
there there's more in there than in the Tour de France.
I read that two coaches crashed into each other on the bike.
Oh, did they?
And we need young Andy over there. He's a boundary rider in waiting.
Well, if you went down to one of the grandstand teams as a boundary rider, they wouldn't be talking about Kim Crow in her own right. She'd be Max's girl.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Max's girl's going very well.
Yeah.
Did you? He was a very good player, Max Crow.
He was very good.
He might have been a best and fairest at one of Essendon.
I think maybe at Essendon, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sue. Mm. Sue, she's on the board of Cricket Victoria.
Yeah. Talk of Essendon. Yeah. The Adelaide side had their work cut out for them at Cardinia Park last week.
Mm.
But can they get back on the winning list against the mighty Bombers, yes.
I know you're probably in a difficult position given you're up on the Passion Terrace behind the goals at Canadian Park.
Yeah.
You'll probably give me an answer like coaches normally give. Mm. Scott Thompson and Stevie Johnson, the start of the game.
Mm.
What did you think about that?
Couldn't see it.
That's the answer we're looking for.
I was checking
you were looking the other way.
I was getting a glass of red.
Now because it's such an important game and it's over there at Adelaide and it's played at the most unusual time, 4:30 in the afternoon, no doubt you'll be over there for the game, will you, champ?
No.
You're not going?
No. No.
Why not?
Because I can't be bothered. I'm going next weekend instead for Uncle Nev's 90th birthday.
Oh, it's Uncle Nev.
Turning 90.
Who, in the song I Made 100 in the Backyard at Mum's, Uncle Nev came on bowling his quicks. Is he now just bowling left arm around and
just trundling in?
Just trundling?
I think Uncle Nev might be carrying the drinks, but he's doing it top. Uncle Nev is going on a camping safari to Camberwell for his 90th birthday. 16 days camping.
Does he follow the crows?
Does he ever?
Does he?
Yeah. Very relaxed.
What did he think about Ben Rutten's game last Saturday?
Benny Rutten is an interesting one that you bring Ben up.
The bloke's had a shocker and says, oh, it's interesting you should bring him up.
Benny was red. That will be the first time in his colourful career that he's had the red jacket the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of rough starts where he's come good after half time, but apparently he didn't come good because he got the red jacket.
Mm.
Interesting day,
Ben.
Well,
I'll tell you what, this is the great thing about footy. You've got an opportunity to redeem yourself a week later. Uh-huh. In the Olympics, you've got to wait 4 years.
Well, and whilst we're still on the Olympics, before we move along with the program, if you look at the ladder, the Olympics ladder, we can feel a bit hard done by with 1-8. We're sitting on 1-8 with the gold and the silver count.
Well, and you know what? It just shows you how hard they are to win.
Mm. Well, it does.
Okay. And you know why it's become harder? It's a bit like the AFL. Once upon a time, there were just 12 teams, and then it got out to 15, 16, now it's 18. Once upon a time, when I went to Barcelona in 92, there was only about 190 countries there. There's 202 now.
Well, there's the difference. And you've got teams like Kazakhstan, and they're pulling these medals from nowhere.
Right. Mm. Well, I mean, in those days, before the fall of the wall,
they
were all Soviet Union.
That's right.
Now they've split up into all these
Lithuania here and Estonia there. Mm. Well, you're taking our medals.
Well, just
go back
to
the 1956 in Melbourne. I don't think they would have been lucky to be 100 countries.
Yeah, I think 70 might have pulled it up.
Yeah.
That's your reason.
So did Sheeds go on and coach one of those countries when they brought in the expansion countries?
John Northey's off to do Lithuania next Olympics.
I think I saw Sheeds at the wall with a hammer, a sledgehammer, actually. That might have been his idea. But anyway.
And talking of the red jacket, because the rowing boys got the red jacket this morning.
Yeah. What happened there?
The Josh Booth.
Oh, right. Yes. Got the red jacket.
He's got the red jacket.
He gone to the rooms early, has he?
You know who he barracks for?
Cats.
Might have been a good day all round for him yesterday.
There's a Hawks man.
Good on Josh. Is that those rowers were Hawks supporters?
He just mistook the window of that shop for...
Allegedly.
A little bit of plaster in the coach's box. He was just showing his mates what had happened the week before.
Yeah. That's what happens when you drink warm beer.
Anyway, I saw the 10,000 for women this morning. Now, that was something, a sight to behold.
Yeah. Who won that?
Gbaba from Ethiopia. Right. She won it last time, too. She ran 10,000 is 25 laps.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not from Seville?
No, that's the barber of Seville. Oh. No, this is the barber of Ethiopia.
Right.
Ran the last lap in 62 seconds.
That's fantastic.
Like it was a 400 run.
Yeah. In fact...
She's going to clean you up when she moves into veterans.
Well, I saw the 400 heats last night of the women, and some did not do 62.
But they did have hurdles to go over.
Anyway, the footy's on, and today Western Bulldogs are playing North. The Giants are playing Port Adelaide. Oh, at... the Giants ground, which is known as the lovely little boutique stadium. Yes. It never gets described. They get raves about the stadium, the footy secondary. Freo and West Coast have got the derby over there as well today. Yeah. And tonight, Collingwood and St Kilda, Brisbane and Richmond tonight as well, and then three games tomorrow. And, of course, last night, Geelong played Hawthorn. And, Billy, I thought, just while we prepare for our studio guest, we've just got to rearrange a couple of things here, and I thought It's just to fill the time. Yeah. We might just have a... If you've just woken up and you haven't caught up with events of the MCG last night, let's just relive the exciting last minute or so.
Mackie takes it for the Cats. He kicks it out to Duncan on the second bounce. He goes short down the line, and it's Steve Johnson. He's at half back, kicks to the middle. Crucial ball here. Selwood stands tall, takes the mark, kicks the Hawkins. Hawkins has marked it at the 50. Now, there is time left. 32 and a half minutes remaining. The runner has gone out to Hawkins. So now Hawkins knows how long he's left. He puts the ball on the ground.
He wipes his palms. He's doing the right thing. He's typing the time.
Hawkins starts his approach. He'll have to kick it 52 metres. He's straight in front to the punt road end. The siren sounds. The ball goes on.
Hearts in the mouths of 65,000 people there. That's Matt White and the team on grandstand.
Adam White,
beg your pardon.
Yeah, and wasn't that exciting?
The curse remains.
I don't know why we faded that down. I was quite enjoying that. Well, we faded it down because we have a studio guest joining us.
Yes.
And let's talk about Reclink, which a lot of people would be familiar with. Reclink Australia, who provide community football. And it's been going for... Well, you can tell us, Peter Cullen, the founder, is here. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, good. Welcome to the Could Have Been.
Thank you to have you here again, Pete.
Thank you, guys.
Are we up to 21 years of Reclink?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? We actually evolved from kick to kick in 1989. And it's become a social league that responds to social issues, but it was born out of street outreach and literally kick to kick. We now have 14 teams and almost 50 across Australia. And we have seven leagues, but we've got a number of communities, three different communities asking us to come to them. But at this stage,
It started in Melbourne, but you've gone national, and in particular, it's strong in Northern Territory. And the theme, of course, is it's football for what kind of folk?
For people experiencing social disadvantage. They're mainly met through the welfare agencies initially. It was identified through street outreach that this would be a really sort of powerful response. So many of the issues that people deal with broader than counselling, Australian rules are such a powerful response. You know, one person on the street said to me, boredom is a terrible emotion and can be deadly, meaning no vision, no goals, no sense of future. But they need something immediately in that time of vulnerability, coming onto the streets after trauma, mm-hmm. and really vulnerable to more trauma. But if you can get them involved in this exciting, life-giving game
that's right.
builds from week to week.
The despondent and the disenfranchised. It's, you know, sport is a great galvaniser, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, it is truly powerful, and particularly Australian rules in this culture. And I think it reminds the disadvantaged people, community, of their better life memories. Mm. And it's a really good informal conversation that everyone on the streets in those times, particularly when I was working in St Kilda at the Sacred Heart Mission, would talk AFL. So you had this, a lot of people get to the point where they don't believe anyone can help them with their situation. So all this informality and sport and release is so important.
And of course, when you first started having a bit of kick-to-kick back in the late 80s, when did it sort of dawn on to you, hey, well, I've got enough here, we'll get a few together and we'll actually play some matches?
Well, a couple of the guys from the street asked if we could have a game.
Mm.
And so I phoned Ozenham House and they agreed to a game. They became a part of the league eventually, but they actually cancelled the game. So I drove there that night saying how disappointed these guys were. And they put me onto a chap called Ted Salino, and they said, if he's interested, we can have a game. And we started to sort of evolve from there, but we had no resources. We literally, at that stage, I applied to the AFL Foundation two or three times. They eventually funded us, so I'm not having a go at them in any way. That was very critical for us, but we literally lent jumpers off places like Glen Auden Football Club, St Kilda Football Club. We had all internal umpires, which the players started to complain to me about. So we've got to get
it's
real
a universal
umpires.
Theme.
Yeah, and so we virtually borrowed everything until Mick Miller came to our first and last game with Dame Phyllis Frost in those times.
Okay.
And at the last game, he's seen us presenting chocolates for trophies at our first grand final. We now play every team in a grand final. It's a real celebration of community and life, but we eventually got that first lot of funding. But as time has got on, to keep this going with nearly 50 seats, finance is probably our strongest challenge as an organisation at this moment. So certainly if anyone's listening, it costs about $2,500 for us to set up a team. And there's communities at Wiluna, Kalgoorlie and Barkly Region who are inviting us at this stage. We're just holding off until we get ourselves better resourced. So you know, if anyone really wants to partner with us in that way, we're also looking for sports chaplains. We want to hold a chaplaincy course next year to get more care around our teams.
You managed to expand the league to the Northern Territory in particular. Are you getting funding from the Territory?
Look, we are, but only for a work and not program money. And that's one of the great challenges. And federally, for all our sports, recreation and arts, that is also the case. So we set up a fundraising arm, but it is a very, very challenging for us. We believe we've found a real niche in welfare, that, you know, that it is one of the more powerful responses. And in a way, sport and arts is almost like a crisis response, because if people have got nowhere to go and no one to care for them, that's when our community, you know, has problems. And RecLink creates a really special sense of community through Australian Rules particularly.
Yep. Now, this Grand Final Day, which is an annual event now, is coming up on the 15th and 16th of this month.
That's correct. That's coming up very soon.
At the celebrated Peanut Farm in St Kilda.
The spiritual home of RecLink. And we'll go through 3,000 sausages. Look, some of our stats are a bit out. Some would have up to 20 each.
Shane Mumford's coming, isn't he?
That's when Greg Champion comes in. And he normally hoes into
it. But you do the whole thing. You have the national anthem on the day.
That's right. And we have people like Father Bob Maguire and Tim Costello do a bit of a reflection last year. We had over 20 sports and arts personalities, including your very own ABC Stan Elves, who was out there last year.
I see you got Glenn Archer, Doug Hawkins, Peter Schwab, Crackers
Keenan,
Smokey Dawson, all coming down this year.
Yeah, they broadcast every year on 97.73 SER. So the games are called live. It makes it really, really exciting. Everybody runs through the banner. All teams play in a grand final because we're really looking for the rejuvenation of the human spirit through AFL.
And I reckon there might be one or two participants who might think they're Tommy Hawkins and go back 50 metres out and going to kick one after the siren.
Look, we've had some really We have had some really exciting. I enjoyed that immensely last night, I must say. But and you know, this is the excitement at this level. You can almost feel the palpability of it, like AFL on that day. It's quite extraordinary to feel it. So you can imagine what this could mean to. Mm. And the rain, each team has a specific response. So like Odyssey House would say, for example, that's a drug and alcohol rehab, yes. would say their people stay in longer through the footy season. So there's a chance that they may make a real commitment to their life in that process, which is the key. The Salvo Hawks, for example, use this as a vehicle for drug and alcohol recovery. So they're social teams. Each agency or team has a specific purpose. So, for example, they would have three people that they could phone day or night if somebody was having a drug and alcohol issue. So there's real support. They meet for a pizza. And it's part of the way they make a commitment to recovery.
Terrific. And I did mention it's on the 15th and 16th of August, which days? Wednesday and Thursday of the week. At the Peanut Farm. I did mention the National Anthem. Is Greg Champion coming down to sing the National
There's
Anthem?
There's discussions.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, we're in discussions at the moment.
We'll work for sausages.
Are they mixed gender teams before you go, Pete?
Yeah, look, that's one of the other things. Odyssey House, for example, would run 8 or 9 female. Every team has female players.
Terrific.
Mm. There's no drug and alcohol as, you know, after no one puts a can in your hand, that type of thing in our league, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's part of its point of difference, but it is to, it is a league with the strongest social agent because it's such a key aspect of people's lives.
Well, good luck for the AFL Grand Final day at the Peanut Farm, the 15th and 16th, but also well done to you for 21 years of fantastic right around the country now, which started out as a humble kick to kick.
And you can go to reclink.org
for more info. Thanks for coming in this morning, Pete. Good luck with it.
All's welcome out at the Peanut Farm.
Thanks, Pete.
Okay.
Want a witty ditty? A refrain without pain? Well, it won't take long. For a sonnet or song, call on the Could Have Beens King of the Chorus, Champs. Release the sounds.
Yes, good morning again.
And before we go to Champs, I'll just mention that Father Bob Maguire and Reverend Tim Costello were guests of honour at the South District's 100th last week too. Because Father Bob's the number one ticket holder, and Tim's son plays in the seniors. I think he might even be captain of the seniors.
Wow, well, you can go a bit then.
Yeah,
lovely. Want to practice the national anthem while Peter Cullen's still listening?
It goes like this. I thought I'd mouth trumpet it.
Lovely.
We asked the listeners to send in their football club songs, particularly if they were the tune Road to Gundagai.
Yep.
Muralbark Footy Club, Tom Steele wrote, green and gold are the colours that we are proud to wear. We are the boys from Muralbark. And amongst the many others we received, two people wrote in about the Parrots. Now, the Parrots are, of course...
Lee and Gather, are they?
They are. Mm. Here's your words, gentlemen.
Could I have lyrics instead?
Well, there they go, Bill.
Thank you.
Got that through the gap there, Bill.
That's the libretto there.
It is.
Billy.
Right, gents. I'll just
get the book.
The capo in position. Nathan Johnston and Gary Sovereign pointed out that the Parrots have this tune.
Wear a smile, not a frown, as we're heading for the town across the hills to Leongatha, where the green and gold's a caper, and you can read the paper about how those parrots can fly. Where the friends from the Gather are waiting for me, and the premiership's a cakewalk, just you wait and see. Are we good? Are we good? Are we any jolly good? We are the boys from Gather Town.
And so does Paddy.
That's good, isn't it? And you can read the paper in there.
Yeah, because they have a rhyme for caper.
I wonder if they'll have to change it soon and say something like on your pad or tablet.
iPad, yeah. You kept that torch. And this email came from Glenn Cook of Bayswater.
The previous one, did you say there was someone? Who were those previous two writers?
Nathan Johnston and Gary Sovereign.
If Alana Hill married Gary Sovereign, she'd be Alana Sovereign Hill. Thank you.
Just for you, Billy.
That's gold.
Thank you.
Now, Glenn Cook's in Bayswater, WA, but he listens on the podcast. I thought of the Shepparton East Football Club song from the 80s at that time in the Tungamar League. And I think we've mentioned Tunga earlier in the show.
I think so we did. Crackers played Tungamar.
The Grasshoppers.
They're now the Eagles in the Pecola and District League. Someone came up with the Road to Gundagai tune. The Bombers' arch rivals back then were Kingupna.
Is that right?
Yeah, a memorable day at Kingupna was the 78-ish Tunga League Grand Final between the Tunga Grasshoppers and Shep East when Les Salty Parish...
Yeah, the late Les Parish.
Yeah, got his Grasshoppers up by one point with the conspiracy theorists. Say that quickly, conspiracy theorists, suggesting the last quarter went longer than it should and just long enough to get the Grasshoppers their winning goal. This is how their tune went, boys. There's a
track winding back to the good old red and black. We are the boys from Bomberland. For it is no illusion, nor is it a dream. We play for one another. We play as a team. Let it rip, take a tip, for we'll win the premiership. We are the boys from Bomberland.
We'll come back to one after at the end.
You don't get illusion that often in a club song either, do you?
Rhyming with what was it again?
Delusion.
What a delusion rhyme.
Yeah, it didn't have a rhyming scheme. It was dream and team in that stanza.
So what we're doing here, if you just joined the program, is we're encouraging you to send your footy club song, suburban or country, or indeed the netball, because there's an email here where Donvale Hockey ladies, I think, used Road to Gundagai. I think it was Andrea who sent that. So send your ditties on any unusual tune that's not the conventional one to couldhavebeens.com.au and you'll find the email address there.
Are you still taking correspondence for your favourite 30 for your next CD?
And that's while you're at the website. Vote on the favourite footy songs of all time.
On my travels yesterday, I ran into the sister of Steve O'Dwyer.
Really?
Was she tall with curly red hair?
No.
Was she called Strawbet?
And she, I said, well, Greg had the...
two songs.
It was a trilogy, even, wasn't it?
Three, was it?
And she, was
a trilogy of three songs.
Yeah. And she said, yes, I know. It's been played many times at family occasions. And he loved the song.
I was thinking about Straub because I think Straub was a marine biologist or marine archaeologist.
Really?
He had some very...
Did you tell me what he's doing? I can't remember now.
At the time, he was playing footy, and he has he's not one who's stayed in the media. He's just gone quiet. Just wonder where Straub is, because he's a pretty academic fellow.
Or Steve O'Dwyer.
Yeah, that's right. No, let's just have a few bars, shall we? Who's a little player about 6'3" or 6'9"? He does, just like he looks like he just fell out of a tree. Oh yeah, gotta like fencing wire. Everyone.
Oh, Steve O'Dwyer.
Oh, those were the days. That cassette's available again. If you go to the Could Have Been's website, you can get that cassette now.
He was playing under John Northey at Melbourne at that 87-88 sort of
period. That's when they had characters in football.
Yes. There's a politician currently going around who might be quoting lyrics from that soon, Greg.
Oh.
Yes. Given that it's a Springsteen number.
Now, Richard Evans writes a lot of songs.
Yeah, and they're good.
And here's another one. And he also is a catchman, but he's grieving for Tigers again. I've heard there is a club that's cursed, like D's, Dogs, Saints, but even worse, the pain their fans go through, it's hard to tell you. Every week they somehow choose another way in which to lose and dash the dreams of fans of black and yellow. Black and yellow. Their fans have had September free every year since 83, as bankrupt as an Athens auto teller. They've heard of 25-year plans, coaches curiously suntanned, but what was in it for the black and yellow? Black and yellow. Mm-hmm. And now they have a proper coach, a playing group above reproach, and young kids who will soon enough be stellar. Yeah, three games lost at final gasp, and top eight now beyond their grasp. They always get three legs of the quadrilla. Black and yellow.
Very nice.
I thought I never wanted to hear Hallelujah in any form again, but I'll make the exception for that. Mm.
Oh, it's been covered quite heavily.
Yeah. Quite a little bit.
Hey, here's
very poignant.
One of the best emails for a long time. Mm. Have a listen to this from Phil Malloy.
All right.
Finally, we all enjoy watching a little show of strength between teams as the siren blows and 27K in fines were meted out to the Northern Tiger fracas as the boys showed their passion for the game and the pressures that their seasons were under. Should we not consider as a public what can be done for these teams who break the sanitised sterility of the modern game with these actions for bringing the game back into repute?
That's great. Love it.
Yes, and also...
couldn't agree more.
Another big tick for using the word fracas.
Yes.
There's got to be a song in that. Bringing the game back into repute. Or there's got to be a charge for that. Billy, have a little sing of this ditty.
I will.
This was meant to go to air last week.
Okay.
Paddy from Reservoir had the idea. Travis Boak, you can have what you want if you'll only come to Geelong. You can have anything you want if you'll only come to Geelong. Walk right in and pop your feet up. Help the Cats to their next cup. You can have anything you want if you only come to Geelong. Come back home, Trav, you're in luck. You can hang out heaps
back at Old Jan Juck.
You can have anything you want if you'll only come to Geelong. I really mean it.
I don't mean maybe.
Now, there's a reunion today at Irrawillipi.
Yes, yep. We've been talking to them earlier. Mm.
And is that the first time that Alice's restaurant's been used as a...
It might be, and it's 23 minutes long in full version, because I had to go and check that on the...
That goes along as the train does from Montmorency at 6:15. Takes about that.
That's it for songs, Greg?
No. There's a couple of things here.
Right.
I can stir. And here's one that you can join me on. This is... All right. Are we getting low on time? Are we tight for time?
Right. Yeah, we are tight for time. Maybe one. The best all right. of
okay,
these.
I'll keep that next week.
All righty, good.
Is this the Paddy one?
Yeah, finish.
Are we done, Paddy?
We will next week do Dave Priest's Bulldog song.
Yes.
Mm. But we'll finish with this tiny sing-along.
Very good.
There you go. Last Gundagai song. And a little short story. Michael Haynes writes, contrary to what the AFL would have you believe, senior footy in the outer western suburbs of Sydney predates the games, as Swooper Northey told us. Indeed, the Swans, the Penrith Rams, having been formed in 81, at which time they adopted this song. Now, let's sing about the Penrith Rams, gentlemen. We're the Rams, we're the Rams, we're the mighty Penrith Rams, and we are football through and through. When it comes to September, we want you to remember the Rams will be there too. We play on guts and courage and fight till the end. And until the final siren, all we know is win. Come on one, come on all, see the greatest team of all. We are the mighty Penrith Rams.
Long ago and far away between the grandstand teams today, points of interest were set in play. Remember when?
Yes, we do remember when. Richmond played Fitzroy at the MCG. Back in 1996. And we do this by way of segueing to the fact that the Brisbane Lions are playing Richmond tonight at the Gabba. And casting our minds back to 1996, a player who played for both Fitzroy and Richmond was Paul Broderick. And we say good morning and welcome to the Cuddabeans. G'day, Paul.
Good morning, guys.
How are you here, Paul?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
And just to, before you played in the league, you were a Colac boy too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was down there. Well, I was a Camperdown lad, so we did play Colac in the Hampden League. So, yeah.
That is right. No, because earlier in the program today, we spoke to Mark Carson, the coach of the Western Eagles in the Colac District Footy League. So
okay.
We've got a bit of a Western District flavour this morning.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, now, we see, as we say, Brisbane playing Richmond tonight, and we're looking just at that. You played at Richmond in that last game that Fitzroy played at the G in 96. Any memories of that game spring to mind, Paul?
Yeah, it was a look at the time. Obviously, it was the last Melbourne-based or Victorian game that the Lions played, so we thumped them that day. But at the end of the game, distinctly remember a lot of the Richmond faithful and the Fitzroy faithful were singing their theme song, you know, arm in arm sort of thing. And there was a lot of tears and emotional time for everyone. So yeah, it was disappointing, obviously, to see that part of the history of the AFL, VFL, end that day.
Did you have mixed feelings given that you had played for Fitzroy?
Yeah, definitely, because Fitzroy, you know, gave me the opportunity at the start to commence my career and, you know, had 6 good years with the Lions and then moved across to the Tigers then after that. So it was mixed emotions that day. So, yeah, it was, as I said, a shame for everyone that had to end.
Our stats show that in that particular game, Richmond 28-19 beat Fitzroy 5-6. And Paul Broderick, you had 19 kicks and 18 handballs for 37 disposals and picked up 2 Brownlow votes. Who do you think got the 3?
Wayne Campbell?
No. A bloke had 24 kicks and took 21 marks for the Tigers.
Richo.
Yeah, kicked 7-5.
Yeah.
And Benny Gale kicked 6-3. Wowee.
Gee, that's unusual for Benny to kick that many.
So, Paul, when you actually arrived at Fitzroy, of course, it was a lot that team was a lot different to the one that you played in 96 because you still had a few of your stars with Ozzie and Paul Ruse and Gary Pert and those sort of boys. So could you see that the club was in trouble?
Yeah, I made a decision and probably towards the back end of 93 that it was really getting hard for the club to look like it was going to survive. Around that time, Lynchy had just been signed up with the Bear or Brisbane to go up there as their marquee player, and pretty much he was our next, I suppose, Paul Ruse to pin our hopes on. And you know, Lynchy made the decision to go, and pretty much I decided then to maybe it's time I looked elsewhere and was able to be in a position where I could look at getting crossed to the Tigers. They'd expressed interest a few times along the way, and I bragged for them as a kid, and yeah, it just all worked out that I could get across there with the swap with Jeff Hogg at the time. So.
Mm-hmm. And then your career went on for even longer at Richmond than it had at Fitzroy.
Yeah, I ended up 8 years at Richmond. Yeah. So the body luckily held up, and no, it was a really enjoyable time at both clubs. You get a lot of good memories from and players from each area and make some good mates, and yeah, you cherish the moment you had with both areas. So it's been good.
Paul, I'm curious as to whether, you know, you cross from one team to another and the first time you play your old team, do you have to dig a little bit deeper because you think, well, I've been with these blokes several years, they know how I play, and they've got my number, I have to do something a little out of the ordinary, or do you just play your normal game and meld in with the current team's strategy?
Just probably meld in, I think, with the current team strategy. So you're right, the guys do know sort of how you go about things. I suppose you always, it's a bit like playing your brother or sister in the playground, you want to beat them. So, you know, and at the time you want to do well as well because you've come across from Fitzroy to Richmond, so you want to have hopefully a good game on the day. And, yeah, but no, nothing, you don't go outside the team structures and things and try and
but Paul,
do what you can.
Those Fitzroy blokes are so nice, they wouldn't give you a curry out on the ground or anything, would they? They'd give you a pat on the back and say, oh, gee, good luck, Paul?
No, I think I got put on my backside a few times early on in that game, so just let me know that I had left the boys. So, they're good fellas, so all played in good spirit.
When you say that, your body held together well, it certainly did because you played more than 20 games a season in almost 10 seasons, and you had a 19 and a 17. You were very durable to get to 262 games. Did you just train well, keep yourself in nick, avoid trouble? How did you manage to do that, Paul?
Yeah, I had a solid trunk, so I was a thick legs and backside, and I was never in doubt with speed, so I didn't have to worry about hamstring injuries or anything like that, like today's boys. So, and just I had to do a lot of extra work running-wise to get keep my endurance pace up because I wasn't a natural runner, and I think just over the years, I was able to get my body to a level that could keep coming up, I suppose, week in, week out. And as I said, I was a bit lucky probably because sometimes you do, you know, you can get knocks and break bones and things, and I was lucky enough to avoid most of that over my career. So,
And you're a lovely left foot kick, as I recall. Do you watch that Hawthorn side at the moment with all their lovely left footers and think, gee, I'd slot in nicely there?
They certainly have done well, the Hawks, with their left footers. And yeah, it has been a real strength for them because they do, most of the left footers in their side do use the ball very well. So I think they can catch other teams out at times because they can just move the ball a lot quickly in another direction compared to other sides who predominantly right foot kicks. But I think at the end of the day, it's just how you do use the ball in today's footy. And it doesn't matter if you're left or right, as long as you can hit your targets consistently.
Paul, what's the adjective you must put before a lovely left foot kick? What's the favourite adjective for a what left kick? You have to be a...
classy left footer?
Raking.
Raking.
Raking left footer, probably. Yeah.
Classy or stylish?
Have you ever heard of a raking right footer?
No. Yeah, no, I was never a raking left footer, so I think I'd have to go stylish, maybe.
He was stylish, very much so.
Now, actually, when you got to Richmond, we were talking to your former coach earlier, John Northey.
Yep.
How different was it at Richmond, having come from Fitzroy? What was the difference between the two clubs?
I don't think there was a great deal of difference as far as the way they went about their training, etc., and just the people around. They've both got, you know, you've got great people with both clubs, so with coaches and administration and support stuff. So I think the Tigers is probably from my end, because I had Barry for Richmond, it was suddenly, you know, you've got the Jack Dyer legend of him and Kevin Bartlett, and that Maurice Rioli was one of my favourite players. Mm. So, and I got luckily enough to wear 17. So there was a few links there that sort of were, I suppose, a great honour to you know, follow in the footsteps of some of those players at the club.
And Paul, before we let you go, what's your involvement in footy these days?
I'm living in North Fitzroy, and I coach the under 13 Fitzroy Brown team in the Yarra Junior Footy League. So mm-hmm. we play and train sometimes at the old Brunswick Street football ground, Fitzroy's old home ground. Mm-hmm. So I'm involved there with the junior, with my son playing now at under 13.
Putting a bit back.
Yeah, and when Brisbane plays Richmond tonight, who do you barrack for?
I think I'll be hopefully the Tigers by a whisker. So.
No, just by a whisker, the Tigers, Paul.
We don't want a whisker. They've had a few whiskers lately.
Yeah, they have, unfortunately.
Oh, gee. Well, we can only say well done to you on a marvellous career. Thank you for talking to us this morning, and great that you are involved with the juniors.
Mighty Roys.
Yep. Yes.
And you, and make sure you're polite to all the officials.
We will do. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Paul Broderick joining us there, of course, played for both Fitzroy and Richmond. And just before, gentlemen, we find out Torchy's tips, can I pass on the news to you that I was with Clinton Wheeldon last week down at Geelong?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Kenny Casellas, unfortunately, wasn't there doing these stats. But Kenny has been inducted into the Western Australia Racing Hall of Fame.
Right, go Ken. Ken.
He's been involved with harness racing for 56 years or something.
Would he have the same stats as he does in footy? Has he got 8 coloured biros? And
he'd have effective use of the whip by the driver.
Well, he would have spent a bit of time at Gloucester Park.
Oh, no, no doubt about that. So are we going to play the Torchy's tip sting to set it up?
No,
we're going to
go straight
to it.
Into us.
Oh, okay, well, look, last week I made a third par.
Really?
Yeah, yes. You went 1, 2, and 9 3 times. You should have gone a fourth.
No, in the first quarter I had Carlton leading, but I didn't have anything for Richmond. And, of course, Richmond led by a whisker at quarter time. And
big cat's whisker.
It cost us a payout. But
you got the next 3 legs, which
is
par for the course.
1, 2, and 9 cashed in every way.
Well, you're only as good as your last quarter, so you're red hot, Torch.
Right. Billy once had a dog with 3 legs. That you should have had that dog, Torch. You're the master of the three games.
All right, look, we'll move on. And tonight's game at the MCG, starting at 7:40, is Collingwood versus St Kilda.
Oh, stand by, folks, because I think you've got a pretty strong view on this.
I have a strong view. I think Collingwood are starting to gear up for a finals campaign.
Right.
And I think they'll come out and take no prisoners tonight. So
I'm
going in the first quarter 1 and 2.
Hang on. Who's first name? Collingwood?
Collingwood is the home team, so they'll be wearing the black shorts.
One and two.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. In the second quarter, I'm going 1, 2, and 3. Then I'm going up to 2, 3, and 4 in the third quarter.
Pulling away.
And pulling away in the last quarter, 3, 4, and 5. So I'm really expecting that
Collingwood did what, anything up to 12 goals.
The Saints fancy themselves tonight, don't they?
I think they might, but I've got a feeling. It's in my bones that the Pies might have a big night.
Yeah, but what's in your brain?
Did you bring back some Italian wine and you've been drinking it all week or something?
Well, anyway, look, I think the Pies might have a fairly substantial win tonight. One of the things that's going to be quite telling when you get into the finals will be percentage. And there's two teams that have got a much better percentage than the others. And Hawthorn is one of them, of course. Mm. So I reckon the Pies might go all right tonight.
Those numbers again?
1 and 2 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. 1, 2 and 3 in the second quarter. Mm. 2, 3 and 4 in the third quarter. Mm. And the final quarter, 3, 4 and 5.
Well, that is not a beautiful set of numbers.
No. The studio audience didn't get
They walked out. They walked out at 3 got a tie.
You know what,
none of it.
What's that?
No. Only time will tell.
Exactly, it will. Well done, Torchy. Torchy's tips for the Collingwood St Kilda game tonight. And right now, it's time for us to find out what we learned today.
Yeah. We're just about done. Almost on our way. But could have been. What do you learn today?
Champy, would you like to go first?
Well, I learned that John Newell, the made lethal either coach he became, because he nurtured the young talent at Brisbane. But I've learned that a left footer must always be described as raking.
I know you didn't learn that. You told us.
Told us. Yeah,
no.
I learned.
Telling
that.
You again too.
Mark Bayes, raking left.
Yeah, wasn't he good, Mark Browning?
All the Hawthorn players are raking lefties.
Torch McGee.
Well, I learned how you pronounce Irrawillipi. Because that's where the Western Eagles play their home games.
Don't they?
What? I don't think I've ever heard of Irrawillipi.
Oh, come on.
No.
Jeez, you don't get around.
too long in the inner suburbs.
Right,
Well, there you go.
What did you learn?
What did I learn?
Mm.
I learned that...
he's making it
I
up.
Know, I had something like... Do you want me to do mine?
Yeah, you do yours. Yeah. I learnt that not only can you use illusion in a football club song, I'm talking about Shepparton East footy club here, you can follow illusion up with a nor. For it is no illusion, nor is it a dream.
And I might add, Gavi, that I learnt that I wish the red hickey stand was still there at Geelong.
I was going to say, Greg Champion told us, and we learnt that the supporters of Geelong are passionate, and we also learnt that you know you're in trouble as a coach when people stop coming into your office to have a cup of tea with you.
For 2 weeks. And then you get a phone call saying, pop up to the
head
upstairs.
Office.
And you have the full support of the board, of course.
Exactly right. So thank you, gentlemen, for what we've learnt today. And, we've learned a few things here. There's probably still things that we're unaware of that are happening out in the world of football, and it's always good to check in with the officers of Outside Football, where Sam the Sub is at the subs desk. Good morning, Sam.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes.
Good to be here, as you know.
Yeah.
Outside football, on the outside, looking in.
Anything? You're doing the Olympics or just concentrating on the footy?
There is a bit of Olympic coverage in the paper down toward the back.
Right.
Just above the little sport cartoon there on the back page. We've got an Olympic update, but as usual, chock-a-block football. And as we say down here, it won't make a stink if it's not full of ink.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's not the paper, that's the staff.
Hey, have you got reporters, though, that have gone over to London means you've had to bring a few casuals in?
Yes, we have got a few reserves or substitutes we've had to call in, but no one from New Zealand you'd be happy to know in.
Last night's match, anyone helping you prepare copy or headlines for tomorrow?
Yeah, we've got a bloke in called the Premier.
No, Geelong's the Premier.
Well, they will be, yes.
And Hawthorn's the Premier, well, they're the favourites. Still are.
And we've got, apropos of last night's match, Hawkins does Hawks in, Tom on in time on.
Yeah, good.
Got there. Also, given the events recently of political events, we've got a special column and an overview from Laurie Grattan.
Laurie Grattan?
Who's come in to look, it seems to be gentlemen behaving disgracefully in politics these days. We've got an editorial piece there about one politician in particular who made a bit of a deal of himself in a takeaway tuck shop.
Yeah.
No pies.
No pies.
We got there.
At least you get pies into a heading, that's good.
Yes, indeed. And, yeah, we've got all the usual features from hit-out, drop-kick, squirrel grip.
Hey, did you see where there's an Olympic rower got into trouble at 2 o'clock in the morning in a kebab shop?
Yes, I did see that, Ian.
Gee, it's a wonder he didn't run into a couple of journos while he was there.
That's may well why account for why he got into trouble. It's remarkable, isn't it? You wake up in the morning with the taste of a kebab in your mouth, but you haven't been to a kebab shop for years.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a funny old business. Oh, good on you.
Anyway, that's all we got there. It's out there somewhere. Pick it up and...
have a read.
Have a read if you want. I don't care.
Good on you, Sam. Sam the sub there at Outside Football. Well, that just leaves us one thing to do, and that's to open the lines at Torchy for you to indulge in a bit of talk back.
I will.
Torchy, there's a call. Get to the blower and see who's on the line. Also, what have I told you about calls on company time?
I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, way you go, Torch.
Go ahead, please.
I'd like to talk to the man.
Who's calling, please?
My name's James. I'm calling from Jollymont, and I'm in a fit of pique.
Could you explain why you're in a fit of pique, James?
Grandpapa and I don't think riffraff have any right to have our pies.
What do you mean?
Bowcastle are our pies.
Well, right, I don't know about that. I mean, they are made in Brunswick, after all.
They've got a very aristocratic sort of name there, haven't they? Boo Castle.
They do indeed. Mm. Anybody else there? We'll go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hey, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Nige here, Torch.
Nige, how you going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Where are you calling from,
Nige? I'm just down in North Fitzroy this morning, Torch.
Oh, you haven't run into Paul Broderick. He lives in North Fitzroy.
Well, a lot of people live in North Fitzroy, Torch.
That's true, yes.
Very busy down here. It is. We've been down to Smith Street to get some coffees. Some Bonsoy lattes this morning, but now I'm back home. It's a bit drizzly and was this morning. It's getting brighter now. But anyway, I called because I'm very excited. Tonight, we're going to a brand new bar. Well, I've never heard of it. I think it must be new. It's got one of those really interesting, ironic names named after some old Melburnian or something like that. You need to be a member to get in, apparently. I'm allowed to get in as a visitor.
Right.
I've never heard of it, so I don't know if anybody else has.
What's the name of the bar there,
It's the Frank Gray Smith Bar.
The Frank Gray Smith Bar. Never heard of it. Where's it at?
I don't know. It's apparently some sort of... It's in an area that's got an acronym like MCG or something like that.
Right, you're going to the MCG tonight. Nice. You know what the MCG is? He's gone. I think he's... Okay. Next caller. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hey, Torchy.
Oh, who's this?
Yeah, Donnie here, mate.
Donnie, where are you calling from?
Calling from Devonport, mate.
All right, how's things over there in Devonport?
Oh, huge, mate. Big night at the pub last night.
Really? What happened?
Oh, we watched the footy.
Yes.
And? Well, it was with Nobby.
Yes.
And when Hawkins took the mark.
Right.
Nobby said, if he kicks this, the drinks are on the knee.
Oh, and what happened?
400 people come in.
And how's Nobby feeling today?
Oh, mate, hey, he reckons, though.
Yep.
He got one on you.
What was that?
Yeah, among the people drinking with us last night.
Who was drinking with you?
Lindsay Webb.
Lindsay Webb. From
that ring a bell for you?
Yeah, it does, down at East Devonport Football Club.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't say the same about you, mate.
No, well, he probably wouldn't, no.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, reckons they had to put the red jacket on you and send you home quick smart after you come down here.
Well, I only played the one...
on the ship coming over.
That's right. I only played the one game, and I think it was in the second, so it wasn't much.
Yeah, mate.
But at least I got the chance to play in the mighty East Devonport colours.
Yeah. Lindsay wants to know.
Yes?
Have you got that 20 you snipped him for?
Tell him I'll fix him up next time I'm in Devonport.
Yeah, good on you.
Thanks, Donnie. Okay. And next caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
I'm G'day, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Caden.
Caden, where are you calling from?
Like Caroline Springs.
Caroline Springs, and do you follow the football, Caden?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you follow?
I follow the Blues.
Yeah.
But I was really annoyed last week.
Annoyed last week, why?
Yeah, well, because the Blues got beat.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't get beat last week.
No, I was watching on the telly.
Right.
And they were losing.
Yes.
And so my mum wanted to watch the movie on the other channel.
Right.
And she said, turn the channel. And so I did.
Yes.
And they were losing, so they must have lost.
No, no, because they kicked the goal right before the siren, and they ended up winning, by, I think, by 4 points.
What?
Yes. Okay. I got it. The young people, their concentration span is not as strong as it used to be. Okay. Next caller, please. Go ahead. You're talking to Torch. Who's calling, please?
Young McGee.
Yes, it is.
Peter who?
Peter calling from?
I'm calling from just a moment to look out the window. Is it Drummond Street?
A Drummond Street in Carlton?
Yes, yes. I came up for the football last night.
Right.
Marvellous night. Young Hawkins.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, he knows all about discipline.
He does.
He knows when a goal has to be kicked.
He does. He
wonderful
was very
young
good.
Man.
Yes. Yes. Anything else for us, Peter?
He went to Melbourne Grammar.
Really?
Mm.
Wow. That's, mm. And that, yes, you think that's where
you
he got
his... that young Booth.
Young who?
Booth. I think he's being sent home from the rowing.
Oh, the one from the rowing, yes. No,
with the scotch.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, we won't spread that around, Peter.
Back to the Hawks.
Yes.
I heard you say that earlier.
Yes, what's that?
I heard you say he went back to the Hawks.
Now, yes, he does back for the Hawks, yes.
I had such a wonderful night last night.
Yes.
Myself and a couple of the chaps thought we'd go out for brunch. Seems to be very trendy up here.
That's right.
And we thought we'd pop up to that cafe in North Carlton.
Which is called?
I don't know what it's called, but it got a bit of publicity.
Oh, right, the one where the pie shop is. Yes.
So we'd go in and congratulate the vendor.
Okay, Peter. Yes.
Car style.
Did you manage
she
to find it?
She knows about discipline.
That's right. Okay.
Comes into her shop and calls her pie soft.
Thank you, Peter.
Very happy with her work.
Okay, well done.
Turn here. We're going around there now.
Okay, all right then. Thanks, Peter.
Good point, well made, Torchy.
Yes. Anything? Time for another call, Billy?
No, that's it for the calls. All we right. Might be lucky enough to get a line-up from the temple. Yes, there's the music.
Yeah, there's music. Oh, Guru Bob, are you there?
Of course, yes. I've been waiting on. I've been holding on all the time, hoping to hear Pearl, actually.
No, Pearl didn't come on, unfortunately.
Well, lift your game, Torchy.
No,
get her back.
She might be busy
we
in the garden.
We love Pearl at the temple.
Now, is the Supreme Master, is he called the... is he still the Chef de Mission?
Well, the Chef de Mission at the temple has been hosting this week Jack Riewoldt and Dustin Martin, and he told them... he said, old saying, remember, each loss takes you one step closer to a sweet, fulfilling victory. Uh-huh. Or, on the other hand, is just another meaningless loss.
That's right. Now, it did occur to me, Guru Bob, that if he was the Chef de Mission and the Supreme Master, he could be the Master Chef.
Boom, boom. Torchy.
Yes.
I'll do the gags, okay? Torchy.
Yes.
Jack Riewoldt and Dusty Martin.
What about them?
They got an idea for the Tigers to make the finals.
Oh, what's that?
They're going to win a repechage, they said.
Okay.
There's a repechage system. I've also been to the Olympics.
Yes,
I was at the badminton.
Oh,
in fact, we've been hanging out with the Chinese and Korean girls.
Yes,
I got to share with you.
Yes.
They're pretty shattered.
Yes, they would have been because they were sent home.
Well, that's right. I've read the official charges. They are charged with failing to make a genuine attempt. Think about that.
I am thinking about it.
And that's from my book. It's not a comment, it's a criticism.
Okay, thank you.
You can get that book now.
Okay, thank you, Gary Bob. And that's time. That's all we have time for.
Thank you to you, Torchy.
Yes.
Good morning to you, Torch.
Yeah, go the Bloods tomorrow.
See you, Chappie.
Go the Crows.
And Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
And from me and Cova, well done, Cats, last night.